Milk Tea, Season 2, Episode 2.
Come on.
The two bears circle around, getting ready to flank her. We know they are bears, by sound only. To look at them, you could regard them in the same category as a beast from a tale told long ago. Because of the radiation around them, each bear was born with a body turned inside out. On the outside hang their lungs, their heart, their bones, sealed together by red tissue. Every time it opens its mouth, you can see where the fur went, as the inside of their cheeks, their tongues, and all the way down their throats are covered in nothing but brown fur.
I would suggest to you, if you don't want to follow your friend, not to come at
me. The only one left is twice the size of the one she just killed.
If you want some too.
It circles around and grabs her by the torso, beginning to shake her like a rag doll.
That does not seem right. Okay, the electronic particulate respirator does have enough space to insert the encryption hardware, but for more patches will have to be updated over the air, I think. So I'll need to insert a Bluetooth module into the hardware as well, and the encryption language will also have to be created, but the linguistic department sent me over a working scheme, so I think I'll be uploading that in just a little bit. Hey, do you have to do that right now?
What? Are you talking to me?
Oh my god, Thomas, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that was you.
Yeah, we're moving the Silver Bullet off campus, so we're gonna need this control board is all.
The Silver Bullet? Isn't that still in prototype phase?
Yeah, you know I can't say much more than that.
Uh-huh, yeah. Government secrets and all. So, you're working a forklift?
Yeah, I work. You know, forklifts and stuff. I'm not anyone's boss. Just like an all-around working kind of guy. There's a Class 5 clearance keycard code for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing to my EN90? So you're working on it.
Oh, the respirator. Yeah, I got this crazy idea that it should do more than just keep us safe, so I decided to add an encryption scrambler to it so that it allows us to talk freely without other people listening in on our conversations, but there's this little unexpected bonus. See right here? The universal frequency allows me to use it as a remote as well. And that means I can basically tell any computer system or like any electronic hardware to do something and it'll do it. It's just like a remote control.
What? Wow. I'm sorry, but that's fucking incredible. You're pretty incredible.
Thomas, what you're really trying to say is I'm the best, right?
Yeah, okay. Listen, Kelly, I've been meaning to ask you something. I mean, what I'm trying to say is I want to say something to you.
Whoa. What is that?
Attention all failsafe personnel. This is William Sabian. Please report to the Thame. There, I will be giving a level 6 briefing in 10 minutes. This gathering is mandatory, regardless of rank and position. Thank you.
Well, that sounded serious.
Well, it better be. I'm gonna kill him when I see him.
What?
Huh? Oh, no, no. Just joking. Just kidding. Let's go see what the old man wants, okay?
Wow, everyone's here.
Yeah. William Sabian comes onto the stage and pinpoints Thomas within the crowd, both giving each other a slight nod.
At 2:52 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today, the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists moved the doomsday clock officially to 10 seconds to midnight. If you work at Failsafe, however, you know that if that number drops, the real number is most likely even less. MK has begun preparations for launching their Womingo nuke, which they plan to detonate at an altitude of 61 miles or just below the Kármán line. This will effectively ionize Earth's atmosphere, and the nuclear blast will double as a Western Hemisphere EMP. NK believes this will effectively level the playing field if our country's power grid is smashed beyond recognition. Now, our military believes that we have the right to defend ourselves, but CNR have other ideas, and thus activated their nuclear armaments just a few hours ago. We know C's will come by air, and R will detonate under the ocean in the event that we don't allow NK to do as it likes with us, which we will not. The doomsday clock is not at 10 seconds to midnight. As we know it, the doomsday clock is effectively at 1 second to midnight. And we believe that it will reach midnight by tomorrow evening.
Sabian, can you tell us exactly what that means?
To put it simply, nuclear war.
Defeated, the key lays there, looking into the distance, past the destroyed buildings and abandoned cars. As he drags her ravaged body through the snow, she notices a light shining far away, turning on and off, inviting her to head in that direction. Unfortunately, the bear has different plans for her.
Thomas.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, you really bolted out of there.
Yeah. It was a lot to unpack, I think.
It's definitely crazy. I'm glad Mr. Sabian gave everyone the rest of the day off, though.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, did you get to call your family yet?
Yes, I did. And Dad had a lot to say. It's pretty late in SK right now, but people are definitely awake and worried. Anyway, the lines are probably going to be jammed until this whole thing blows over, so... Listen, I wanted to ask you... What were you going to say to me before the announcement?
Well, what?
You were going to say something to me, you know, before the announcement?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess there's no reason to be nervous now. The end of the world really seems to put things into perspective that
way. The end of the world.
But what I was going to say is... Kelly, would you like to get some coffee sometime? Like, you know, with me together?
Hmm. I'm not so sure that's such a good idea.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you are a lot older than me.
Okay.
And, we work together, too.
Right.
Some people might even call it grooming.
Okay, so that's a hard no.
No, it's not a hard no, it's just... I want to make sure that if I'm going to go out with you, it's because of what you are and not who you are.
And how do we figure that out?
Well, how about we get dinner instead?
What?
Bonjour and welcome to the Petite de la France. I will be your waiter today. My name is Jacques. And if I may, I'd like to recommend the Mondeau de la Blanc. It's drinking quite nicely today. We also have 5 different kinds of sparkling water. If you need me, I'll be in the corner right over there.
Wow, that was one excited waiter bot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was something, all right.
It's funny, you know. If during college someone had told me that I'd be sitting in a 5-star French restaurant with Thomas Sensen, I'd probably have told them they were crazy.
Really? Why?
Cuz, I mean, it's Senzan. I didn't think I'd be working at Senzan, let alone Failsafe. And never side by side with you.
Kelly, what I think you're really trying to say is I'm the best, right?
You're like a little kid, you know that?
I know. So, you like this place?
It's fine. I mean, if you're trying to impress the garden variety type of girl, it's totally fine.
Okay.
Look, Thomas, I'm actually quite simple to please. And I'm much, much harder to understand once you do. But it's fine. If you want to start at 0 and 0, it's totally fine.
Well, that just won't do.
What? No. Thomas, I was teasing you. What are you doing?
I'm changing the way things go, of course.
Without thinking twice, Thomas takes Kelly's hand in his own.
Let's get out of here.
And smiling, both walk out of the restaurant and into the coolness of the night air, which is lined with a light breeze and a romantic feeling. Together, they spend the midnight hours talking about laughter, love, loss, and pain, philosophy, and science. Everything, it seems, other than what's on everyone else's mind, which is the end of the world. Between them, there is a vastness that they cannot fill. Their age gap, for one, and being co-workers, an even more complicated predicament. And to be honest, even more important, the cultural chasm that separates them ever so endlessly. Kelly, a young Korean woman, is bound by the traditions of her family and the rules of her father, which she knows could never be broken, and she herself doesn't want to break them anyway. And Thomas, on the other hand, knows nothing of family, except for this girl sitting in front of him, never having felt this way before. Kelly gets a great idea to go to the local night market, where she giddily picks up a bag and fills it with many Asian delicacies she's sure Thomas has never tried in his whole life. She also grabs, quite secretly, an item that she places in a box so that he cannot see what it is. Later that night, they find themselves sitting on a blanket on a patch of grass in the park. Kelly makes him try the candy first, smiling knowingly as she does it, while stuffing the piece in his mouth.
I'm telling you, it's just candy. Try it.
Who eats something this sour?
I do, of course.
She opens the box and pulls out a drink, which he immediately correctly identifies, remembering the first time they ever met. And sipping on the cold milk tea, they look up at the moonlit sky while holding hands and rejecting the future.
Don't think.
And then they kiss. Sweetly at first, tenderly, and then passionately. Altogether forgetting the things that were keeping them apart, and focusing on the connection that brought them together in the first place. And without knowing how, they are in his apartment, lost in his embrace. And the wind blows the curtains, and they flow to and fro over the windowsill. And rain begins to hit the window pane, creating a beautiful dance, each layer above the other, until everything is fused together as if they were only one.
Thank you.
It's 2 a.m. now, and both of them are staring at each other from under the sheets, counting the ripples in the blanket between them. They can no longer ignore the ticking of the clock on the wall. As the minutes turn to hours, and they get closer and closer to what may very well be their last day on Earth. The thought crosses his mind, and the thought crosses hers. But even though they both seem to know it, and know it well, neither decides to say it.
Do you want to get some breakfast when the sun comes up?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Hi, welcome to Annie's. My name is Annie. Now what can I get for y'all today?
I think just two coffees for right now, Annie. Thanks.
Two coffees with an extra helping of care. Coming right up.
You think you're really funny, huh? Don't think I don't see what you're doing.
What? I mean, you said you like the simple things in life, so...
Sure. Okay. You win, okay? Listen, there's been something I've been meaning to ask you. Or I think rather tell you. I've just been waiting for the right time to do that.
Okay.
Do you remember when we first met? You told me that Failsafe's most important endeavor is to find the cross-connection between a digital copy of the mind and the human brain, allowing for server-to-human transfer. Do you remember that?
Yeah. So?
I think I figured it out.
She passes a piece of paper over the tabletop.
Really?
Go ahead. Take a look.
It's right.
What? You didn't even look at it.
Kelly, it's right.
Oh my god. You've already created the transfer system.
Hey Mark, what's up, man?
Haven't you?
Kelly, I... Listen.
What?
Wait.
No, what?
Are you hearing this?
Don't try to change the subject.
Kelly, I'm not trying to change the subject. Something going on right now. Don't you hear it? I think it's starting.
You think what's starting?
If the president is announcing it, we have about 45 minutes left.
45 minutes left to what?
We have to go. Right now.
Milk Tea was written, directed, produced, narrated, and edited by Jim Figueroa. Consulting and advising by Ha Jung Yu. With audio and music design, using royalty-free music from Triune Films, Filmcrux, and freesound.org. Milk Tea is a Choreopop production.